Good morning. We're here with Christine Ferguson, who's the Executive Director of the Rhode Island Health Benefits Exchange. Welcome, Christine.
Great to be here with you.
So what's going to happen on October 1st when we begin the process of moving Rhode Island towards universal health care?
So on October 1st, people will be able to make phone calls into a call center, go online to a very robust website. They'll be able to talk to people on the ground. Small business folks will be able to work with their brokers around getting information about what kind of plans they might be able to buy, whether they can come to the exchange and buy them, whether they might be eligible for Medicaid expansion, but a whole variety of different information about getting insurance and then picking plans.
Let's say most Rhode Islanders who get their insurance now, their health care, from an employer plan. How will life change for them, or will it change at all?
So the interesting thing about Rhode Island is 98% of businesses in Rhode Island actually provide health insurance to their employees.
That's pretty high.
It's very high. We're in the top five in the country. And for small businesses under 50, 50% of our small businesses offer insurance to their employees. So the other 50% under 50 will now have some options that weren't available to them before, as well as those who are already offering insurance. But for most people who are in larger companies, you're not going to see a dramatic change any different than you would see year to year because of healthcare costs generally. Coming about as a result of October 1st.
Now, how do we get small businesses to buy into this?
So at the end of the day, for small businesses under 50, there is no requirement. There's no employer requirement to offer insurance. So for smaller businesses, that won't change. What will change, however, is the ability of a small business to sign up for a health plan, but then allow their employees to pick from other health plans as well and receive the same kind of contribution.
So are you going to actually bring competition to this market?
I think we will be bringing competition to the market between health plans on an individual basis. And then over time, we have right now Blue Cross Blue Shield, United, and Neighborhood Health Plan will be offering to individuals as well as small businesses. Tufts New England will be coming in January of 2015, and we've had inquiries from a couple of other health plans about coming into this space.
The other thing is the public buy-in seems to be very important here. A lot of talk about the so-called millennials, the young people who are healthy. If we don't get healthy people in there, you don't want to just create a new pool of people who are very sick, right? So how do you get the public to buy in, and how to get healthy young people to sign up for this?
So I think that the core at the end of the day, you know, what's the definition of success? How do we determine whether or not this investment of money nationally and in Rhode Island actually got us anything? I think pricing, I think the way that the predictability of prices, the way that people get their health care, the changes in that to make it more effective and more personally helpful. And I think long term, whether or not it actually helps people stay at work, improves absenteeism and presenteeism, all of those kinds of things. And for a 26-year-old, you know, or a 27-year-old, 28-year-old who feels invincible, young men generally, the question is going to come down to how much do I have to pay? It doesn't matter how much I'm getting in a tax credit. What matters is how much money do I have to lay out? And is that of value to us? And I think that that's in the first year, it's going to be a hard sell. As we go through the next couple of years, it's going to get easier because we'll have more options for folks.
Now, you're one of the architects of the universal health care plan in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts has a largely successful system as far as coverage goes. People say, though, it hasn't done much to stabilize costs.
There are a number of learnings from Massachusetts that I think we have to be really aware of. First and foremost is that the small business community and the broker community and the provider community were not as integrated in the conversation from the beginning. We view our role as really an intermediary that is negotiating on behalf of the business community, and that is working with providers. We have some excellent, amazing, cutting-edge things happening in Rhode Island that could lead us to really much better outcomes and much better long-term control of the trends, of the healthcare cost trends. And the providers tell us the health plans aren't, they're not listening to us. They won't try anything new. And the health plans say the providers aren't ready to do it, or the regulations stand in the way. What the exchange is going to do, if we're successful and if we plan this out right and use the money well, what the exchange is going to be able to do is negotiate that a little bit better and make it happen faster.
What do you estimate as to how many thousand Rhode Islanders you can bring in with the new benefits?
In the next 18 months, we're looking at 60 to 100,000 people. The way that those numbers work out is we've got about 111,000 people who are insured by small businesses under 50. And those folks are going to have a choice now to come into the exchange and set an amount of money that they can pay toward coverage and then allow their employees to use that to choose whatever plan fits the employee's budget. And then there's another about 100,000, 45,000 employees, about 100,000 lives totally that are in employers who don't offer coverage. And for those folks, these employers may find this to be attractive. We've got about 45 to 60,000 individuals who will now have two plans to choose from. Many of them will have two plans, not all. And over the course of the next 2 years, they'll have more. There's 28 different kinds of plans, three carriers.
Do we have enough primary care physicians to deal with all these new patients?
So everybody you talk to is going to have a different answer to that question. Based on work that I've done over the past 10 years, what I see is that the needs that people have from the healthcare system are different. The needs that primary care docs have are different. The number of women graduating from medical school is over 50% and growing. And if you look at the numbers in undergrad, you've got 60% female, 40% men. Men drop out faster. You're going to see more and more women in the profession. I think that's going to change the nature of the way people practice. We're already seeing some of that. So I think that there's going to be a lot more collaboration, and that's going to improve some aspects of the system in terms of interaction with patients. But there's no way we can educate enough primary care doctors to do everything we want them to do.
Christy Ferguson, thanks an awful lot.
Always glad to be here.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.